Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here!
And welcome to the Movie Maidens podcast. As always, you're joined by me, Dorsa.
Me, Morgan.
And the lovely bit of filth in this studio, me, Margot.
Wow. And welcome to our episode today where we're going to be discussing medieval film. Hence that little Monty Python and the Holy Grail intro. So medieval film, guys, I think we're all pretty big fans of the
Hence our name, The Movie Maidens.
The Movie Maidens. Exactly.
It's been a long time coming.
It has.
It has been. For this episode, we did a little, we were like, you know what, we've seen a lot of medieval things, but let's try to, you know, watch something for this episode. So we watched Excalibur last night, came out in 1981, directed by John Borman. So we might refer to that film a couple of times just as kind of a basis refer to. But since we all love the medieval period so much, you know, we tend to learn about it a lot in school just because that's when people were kind of like doing shit.
Yeah.
Because like people hadn't done a lot of stuff before. So people were like stuff for the first time. So I thought we could just kind of talk about some like medieval anecdotes of just stuff we've learned of like highlights and lowlights of the period. Like what were they doing right? That we're like, low-key, bring it back.
Well, let me start this off by talking about something that I learned in not one, but two of my classes. Those classes, I will name drop them. One of them was like Harry Potter and Medieval Studies or Medievalism or something.
First year
class. I do forget what that is properly called, but it was Harry Potter and Medieval Studies.
Mm-hmm.
And then also my Witches and Demons class.
Woo-woo.
Which I also attend.
Yeah, Margo's in. Anyways, but the penis tree. That's what I would like to talk about.
Oh, yes.
So, the penis tree. Yes, the penis tree. Are you coming to the tree?
I think we might have learned about this in History of Madness, too. Or no, I learned about it. I learned about it in the context of Joan of Arc.
In another class?
Yes, in one of my
Laurier
other classes.
Laurier loves to teach this. Laurier loves to teach about the penis tree. This is,
yes.
Anyways, tree. So basically, men were super scared about castration and everything.
Castration
and
anxiety.
Which is stealing their penises.
Which is stealing
their
penises.
They did.
And then they did do. And then they would put them up in this tree, and then the men would go to the tree and be like, yo, can I get this? They would basically shop around for a new dick.
That's so funny.
It is awesome. If you look it up, the medieval art for it is hilarious.
Literally.
It's not super graphic because it's medieval art, so I'm not telling you to look up porn. I promise this is not about that.
What our prof said about it made me laugh too, like the original like tale of it being like the witch with all the penises in the tree and the one guy pulling up and being like, oh yeah, you took my penis. So that one up there at the top, the really huge one,
the biggest one,
that one's actually mine. And the witch goes, oh, no, 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 it's not. That's the priest's penis, the head priest's penis.
Whoa.
And I like to bounce on that thing.
So
that's actually my penis. I'm not giving you that.
That's so funny. That actually is.
So that is one of my favorite facts that I've learned.
Our prof did not say it that graphically. But
No. He did not.
Wow.
We're paraphrasing.
So I guess highlights of the medieval period, penis tree, bring that back.
For sure.
I think we could benefit a little bit from everyone having a little more castration anxiety. I think
men.
Yeah. It could happen to you.
Witches could steal your penis.
They could.
It could happen. You never know. Hygiene, probably a low light.
Ooh, yeah.
In the medieval period.
Sexism, also a low light.
Sexism is a low light and almost
that still happens.
Yeah, I would say all of history.
I guess it was especially bad then. They're like, wait, you can read and you're a woman? Yeah, I think that's witchcraft.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah you're actually a lesser being to me because you're born a woman.
Well, actually, we're learning
about
this.
You're not fully cooked.
We're learning about this in
Witches and Demons.
Witches and Demons, where just women are the weaker sex because you're first a woman and then you turn into a man, and by turning into a man and you are therefore like more cooked and more developed and like just are
a
woman.
How did they know that back then though?
I don't know.
Thought that like the uterus like the balls would like and penis would like drop, and like if you had a uterus, that's because your balls and penis didn't
drop. Because they're inside you still, so if you were in the womb longer it would drop and then you were the better sex basically.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really crazy how they got some things right by getting some things so wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's because, I mean, hey, if there's a guy watching or listening to this and you have nipples, that's because he used to be a girl, bro.
Yeah,
in the womb. That's why men have nipples.
Actually, I was watching this video, and the reason why humans only have like two nipples mm-hmm. is because like babies are so like fucking useless when they're born.
Yeah,
and like
I got this video too.
Yeah, yeah. And so like for example, I'll elaborate. Like when a cow is born, it's like already can walk and stuff, and it's already pretty developed, and so it needs a lot of like udders to suck on so that it can like get a lot of nutrients. But babies are so fucking useless, and like they rely on their mom so heavily that like they don't like need as much stuff because they can't like walk already, so they don't need as much nutrients and like whatever, so there's only two nipples.
I always figured it was because like humans will like usually have one baby at a time, like maybe you'll get twins if you're really lucky, triplets, but like usually animals, like they'll have a litter.
Yeah, like cats and dogs.
Yeah, so they'll have like, bring out a couple at a time.
Exactly. So there was also that thing about like, well, obviously dogs and cats like have multiple. So it's like one on each nipple. But like then it was like, oh, cows only have one baby at a time. And so then it's like comparing it to that. And so that was interesting. It's because they're just so much more developed as like animals when they're first born.
Yeah, they are, bro.
Freaking, I know.
When I got my cat, bro, first time ever seeing a litter box, it was like, okay, I go in here, I pee in here, I cover it up. I'm like, who told you this, bro?
No, literally. I'm like what
who
the hell?
Told you this?
One time, like several years ago during the summer, there was this baby deer that was born on my front yard.
That's so cute.
It was really fascinating because you can't get near it. Yeah, fawn. You can't get near it because otherwise the smell will imprint on it and the mother won't want
mother
it anymore.
Mother will be like, mm-mm.
Mother will be like, the fuck is this? So then she won't take care of it. I'm like, no, that's so sad. So we literally like guarded this deer or the fawn. Like we like stood outside like at a certain distance. And it was so interesting because the animals, like there's so many dogs in my neighborhood, like so many. Anyways, they wouldn't come near it. They would come up to like sniff the fawn. They would like come near him. We named him Busker because it was Busker Fest weekend where I was. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so his name is Busker. So they came near Busker, and then they literally like wouldn't go a certain distance within it because they like intuitively knew not to impose their scent on the newborn. Because
they're also like scent crazy. Like they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably got up that morning. They sniffed around. They're like, who gave birth to a freaking baby deer right
literally.
Now?
Literally. So then, we literally watched Busker like take his first steps and everything. And it was over the course of like just an afternoon. It was like so quick and like developed and everything. And then eventually like the mom came back like way later and like got her baby and stuff. But it was good because just no scents were imposed on it. But
there you go.
Side tangent.
Hey, yippee. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I do appreciate how I feel like in the medieval period, they were like, this cow is my family. They're like, this cow is my family until one bad winter. And then I'm sorry, buddy.
Actually, we were talking about in Witches and Demons today about how like if you had like a lot of the time women accused of witchcraft were like old women widows because they'd be the beggars that show up at your doorstep.
Yeah.
So they'd knock on your door. They'd be like, can I have some money or a piece of bread?
And then they'd be like, no, get out of here, hag.
And then what would happen? They slam the door in their face and then something bad would happen. They go to milk their cow and the cow, like, and they give them, you know, milk or whatever, and they go to churn their butter and it just won't churn or whatever. So, like, they'd be like, that's her fault.
Yeah.
Oh.
She cursed us.
It's like, maybe get the Inquisitor.
Maybe you're mad at making butter dough.
Yo, I got milk from my cow and now it's curdled. This has to be this woman's fault.
Literally. Or it's like, we're farming and there was a tornado that just wrecked all of our crops. What the fuck are these witches doing? Why the fuck are these women ruining our fields? It's like, what?
Yeah, that was a witch, buddy.
Yeah, I think that was a freaking woman on her broom and she was spinning around too fast and she made a tornado.
And we learned that the broomstick is actually used because it's a phallic symbol you were fucking on that thing and witches were thought to be cuckolds.
Yeah, Cameron was telling me about this.
Cuckold witches. It's speaking of cuckold witches, Excalibur.
Actually
that's interesting. Talking about Morgana.
Guys,
it's not me. It's not me.
Morgana is, she's kind of a cuckold just in the sense, actually she's not a cuckold, she's like a fucked
enchantress
up. Well, she is, she's an enchantress, but I was gonna make a joke because she witnesses her, well, Arthur's father basically,
Uther
Pendragon
Uther Pendragon have sex with Egrain, her mom, and she's just like watching like a freak.
Yeah, but the weirdest part is Uther like makes eye contact with Morgana and he's like, I'll just keep going.
It's like an 8-year-old girl. It's like, yo, actually chill out. No wonder she's evil now.
Yeah.
And she has Patrick Bateman, baby. Patrick baby.
And then she, and then like the Egrain, or
Egrain.
I think Egrain. The mom, she's like, wait, I think maybe that wasn't my husband that night. And I feel so bad for her. Cause,
yeah. You
know, cause I don't know why Merlin agreed in the first place. Like Merlin, guys, spoilers for Excalibur if you haven't seen it. He like helps Uther like sleep with. So basically Uther like makes this like alliance, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with another kingdom.
With another kingdom. And like, it's like after whatever, it's like, let's go. We finally made an alliance.
Let's party.
Exactly. And then the king of the other place is like, my wife is going to dance for us, guys. She's going to dance for us. And mm-hmm. then she starts dancing. And then Uther is like, I need to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
I must have her. I'm going to immediately like break our treaty.
I mm-hmm. must have her. And it's like, and like Merlin's like, yo, you just made this treaty. And Uther's like, no, I must have her. And you actually have to help me. And then so Merlin does this like spell to get.
He summons the dragon.
He summons the dragon, the dragon's breath or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he gets. He tricks this poor woman into kind of, I guess, having sex with him through. She like thinks it's her husband, but she's like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't my husband. It's really weird. It's some magic trickery. And Merlin has to like recover for 9 months, 9 moons yeah. after. Mm-hmm. And
conveniently, which is the amount of time a pregnancy takes.
Exactly.
He
so
was
it's like
low-key pregnant with
no,
Arthur.
I was
too.
Literally gonna say, I was like, was Merlin the surrogate something? And then, everyone's always asking Merlin. Merlin's a really weird. This is a really weird adaptation of
it is.
Merlin
yeah.
the character.
He wears this like metal helmet thing.
He looks yeah. like freaking Magneto. Like,
he does, yeah.
with this freaking helmet.
I loved him. He was always speaking in riddles and like he fell in the lake at that one point. Like he just lost his balance
yes.
and fell.
And
so silly.
He decides whether or not like half the time he's like serious and then he's like, but what do I know, for I'm a silly lad, or like he'll do something like that and you're like, wait, what? I thought you were serious, what's going on? He's like, blood and death and maybe something more. Like he'll just get like silly with it every
and
once
he
in
does
a while.
This weird voice, he'll be like, blood and death and destruction and maybe something else.
And maybe something else. And it's like, what's are you doing a bit?
And then he has this like cloak thing that like he always yes. lifts up and makes himself look like yeah. a bat or something, and it's like, what is happening? And he
literally
only does it when he's being silly.
And everyone's like, I feel like everyone, like Loki is like, Merlin's kind of, everyone's like sus of him. Everyone's like dokes.
Yeah.
And with him, especially Morgana. She's like, where are you taking my baby brother? Cause like, cause Arthur gets born and then Merlin's like, yo, you literally swore me your child. And then the poor freaking Egrain is like, why the baby? Why the baby? And I feel so bad for her.
Do we ever see her again? I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I don't know, because, okay, I'm not sure how true this is. I've seen this in other adaptations of, like, the Arthurian traditions, but I don't know if this is just, like, a common thing that happens or, like, if it is in the original thing, but I always thought that Arthur's mother dies, like, shortly after he's born or, like, giving birth to him.
I don't know.
You might be right. We'll learn in our class.
Yeah, we're taking Arthurian traditions next term.
Yeah.
If anyone's in that,
yep.
Yeah, our whole tagline for this podcast is like, join our round table or join our court or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We low-key do love medieval things. I've never been to medieval times though.
I have too.
Okay,
we
so,
should go.
Yeah, we should. But
yes,
I was in a. So you go in grade 3 or 4?
It was 4 at my
4.
School.
Okay.
I didn't
so
go.
So I was in first a 3-4 split and then a 4-5 split.
So you got to go twice?
So I got to go twice.
Holy crap.
And oh also it was God. The year where they were switching over the curriculum to include more indigenous stuff.
Right.
So then obviously my class just missed learning the indigenous stuff and we just learned medieval times twice.
Wow.
That's yeah. Which I learned indigenous stuff in
high
other classes.
Stuff,
oh, I
too.
Just
oh, yeah.
I just learned about it in like grade like 8 or something, but so don't worry, guys. I got my indigenous education, but no. So
that
we
wouldn't have
go
been
to,
your fault, anyways. It would have been.
So we went to medieval times twice, literally. And then they crown like so. There's different like sections on colors and whatever, and like they crown like a queen in each section. And you best believe
queen
I was queen
Morgan.
Of the blue
queen Morgan,
queen of
wow.
the blue court or whatever it is.
Wow,
I don't know.
Awesome.
I was like 9 years old, so I don't remember.
Wow,
I went with my family. I didn't go through school.
That's awesome.
I loved it though.
Same. Mm. I want to go now that we can like drink, because imagine
yeah.
just getting like drunk, just eating chicken feast. With like your fingers and watching like jousting.
That's going to be so awesome.
That's the life I was built for, man.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
Without all the disease.
We could go for our birthday.
We could That's go to, for our birthday. I was talking about medieval times one time on the bus because I was like near it and this lady shushed.
Oh, well, she's just a fucking hater, bro.
What the hell?
I was like, why are you shushing people on a public bus in Toronto? It wasn't even like early in the day or anything. Like, it was like a normal time. Like, it was like,
bruh.
She was just grumpy that she didn't get to go to medieval times, I guess, or something.
Literally.
She's like, stop talking about it. I want to go.
Yeah. I know so many people that are allergic to horses, though, so they literally can't go. They like, yeah, they'll like break the out in hives and they'll die.
Everywhere.
Damn.
Yeah. One of my roommates is, and one of my past roommates is.
Damn.
Isn't there also like a hawk that they have or something? Or like,
yeah,
an
probably
eagle?
Like,
oh,
a falcon.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, 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 yeah. I love birds of prey. Oh my God. So mm-hmm. awesome.
Like eagly.
True, actually. Just like eagly. Like,
yeah. Eagly.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. Excalibur. What did you guys like about Excalibur? Did you have a favorite part?
I liked the visuals.
Yeah, the
I
vibe
think
it, was
it's,
nice.
It's a good, I think it's, yeah, again, I said this to you guys 100 times before, but I think it's like a good vibe movie
mm-hmm.
where it's like, if you're familiar with the Arthurian traditions to some point where you're like, okay, yeah, Excalibur, King Arthur, okay. And you want to watch like a movie that looks like it was made in the 80s.
And feels like it was made in the 80s.
Feels like,
and you can,
yeah.
you look at everything, you're like, wow, that's such a set.
Yeah.
Wow, that really looks fake.
I think it has good production design value.
Oh, it
honestly.
Does. I'm just...
Yeah. No, no, no.
I'm just looking for it.
No, that's real.
Can I confess something to you guys that I don't know if I've ever confessed before? I'm horrible, unless I'm actually like physically on the set of like a film and I'm like looking at it and seeing that it's fake. I like, my suspension of disbelief is so easy.
So is mine.
Like... Whenever, but no, whenever you guys are like, oh, you see that? I actually sometimes don't. Like last night when it was like the scene where it was like the Holy Grail and it was like the visage mm-hmm. and you guys were like that, like laughing at it. I was like, in my head, I was like, this is real.
That's awesome. Real. You know what? I actually love that.
I like yeah. wasn't even thinking, you're like green screen. That's so funny. I was like, I didn't, that even,
no,
didn't even occur
my,
to me.
My brain's been ruined since being at Vancouver Film School just for that.
Yeah.
And like being able to, especially since I was in production design, like being able to point out like sets and stuff. I'm like, yeah. Like, it didn't used to be this way.
It's part of the fun, though, for me, because I'm like, oh, I get to see the elements behind the movie magic.
Yeah, like, there's this one part where, for all the listeners, Merlin and Morgana go to this weird ice cave thing.
Oh, yeah. It's
yes,
just like,
where everything is possible.
Yeah.
And nothing
it's
is
his, like,
whatever.
Chamber of whatever.
Yeah, it's, like, so
gooning,
bizarre. And kind of awesome. Actually, if anyone's seen Attack on Titan, there's an ice thing there. There's like an ice chamber thing. It looks just like that, except for not animated, and also looks like it's made out of plastic and kind of yeah. rainbowy. So not at all like what I just said, actually.
That's awesome.
So,
a lot of stalagmites, stalagmites or whatever.
Merlin's cave.
Yeah. But that I was very
it's like
much
an actual
like,
place, apparently.
Oh, we should go. Where is it?
I don't know, man.
Is it actually? Wow.
England. Cornwall.
Oh,
Cornwall. Yes, well, that
Yo,
makes sense.
And yeah. she was like, I'm
well, yeah, this
from
is where
Cornwall.
It's supposed to take place. Yeah. I always forget that, like, Same. It's just like modern day England.
Yeah.
Not some fantasy land.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, England kind of is a fantasy land in some ways.
Well, Except British people fun. Aren't real.
Exactly.
That is true. Have you ever met one? Actually, I have.
I've met people that claim to be
just
British.
One. Oh. True.
But I haven't been able to verify.
Yeah.
Guys, my favorite part of the movie was when Arthur suplexed that guy.
Yes, that was
no,
hilarious.
No, bro. He suplexed him and then he was like, knight me.
Yeah.
And it was such a power move because the guy was like, wait, Loki, I will knight you with the Sword of Excalibur.
No, literally.
That was awesome.
He like literally just learned he was going to be king. He just made a strategy. He runs into the battle. He kills so many people. And then he jumps off a building into the water.
Like he is the goat.
Yeah, he like jumps off like a cliff. And then like he like hooks his arm like around
the guy's head.
And then like
swings him off his horse.
Yes. And then he like donk. Like he like lands him like in the river.
Yeah.
And
they come
crazy.
Up all soggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked all the Lady of the Lake stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really well
done. I'm just always into that, though, in general. I'm like, mm-hmm. this is sick.
Like,
literally.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I will say my favorite part of just watching the whole movie is just looking at the horses the whole time.
That, yeah.
They're so cute.
They're so cute and silly. Like, anytime I watch any sort of, even if it's like a serious historical thing, like, looking at the horses, I'm like, to me, again, horses kind of look like capybaras to me. And so, like, think of how silly a capybara is when you look at it. You're like, silly thing. That's how I feel. Just anytime I see a horse in a movie, I'm like, what are you doing there, buddy?
What do you know?
Because it's like you don't know what's everything that's going on, but like, you're helping. And I think that's pretty cool.
Do you think they like to act?
I think not all horses, probably, but I think there are definitely some horses that.
You've got to be a pretty brave horse to act, because there's a lot of like loud noises.
Yes.
Yeah.
On set, and horses don't like those.
No, they're getting scared.
Yeah, I've been thrown off so many horses, like, because they got scared. Like one time, snow fell off a roof. I was bragging to, like younger kids, because I was also a kid. I was like in my teens. I was like bragging. I was like, I've never been thrown off a horse. Yeah, I've been riding for like, I don't know, like a year and a half, 2 years. I've never been thrown. And then a piece of snow fell off the roof and my horse spooked and I got thrown off right then and there.
Oh,
I feel like that's something you just don't want to say if you're actively riding horses. Is saying I've never been thrown off horses. It's like asking for it.
It is, and stuff like that always happens to me. Like I think that's why I'm funny, because situational comedy always happens to me. I'm always like,
you're always in a situation.
I actually am. You guys can confirm this. I'm always like, I went on a walk today and three eagles swooped down and so I started pecking out my hair. Like, ridiculous things happen to me all the time.
I refuse to acknowledge situations.
Oh, like, I always do.
Because it's like that, like, I'm like, it's like, oh, Dorsa, how's your walk? I'm like, well, I guess I technically saw four car crashes. And you guys like, what? And I'm like, well, it was there, but it didn't have to do with me, though.
That'd be awesome. No. I love car crashes.
Okay, wait.
Let me defend myself. Not because I like when people get hurt. I just like smash derbies. Like, I like just seeing cars get ruined. Sorry.
I'm always thinking about, okay, is this car salvageable or not? Okay, like, how much is it going to cost? Oh, I'm always thinking about the insurance
process. I'm always
process.
Thinking about how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, dude, oh, what is that? A Beamer? That'll be so inflated. You know what I mean?
If anyone listening has ever been in a car crash and has had this experience that I had the one time I was in a car crash, my friend Bridget and I, we were on our way to the gym and we were literally at a red light and this car just didn't stop for the red light behind us and just rammed into the back of our car and we were like, oh, what the hell? The amount of tow trucks that just like spawned in the moment it happened was crazy. Like, we were outside trying to figure things out, like calling her parents, like getting insurance stuff. That guy was like, oh, look, I'm gonna call my dad or whatever, because he was also like a young driver. And like, I at least five or six like tow trucks like spawned in and they were like, hey, do you need whatever? And we're like, no, it's fine. We're like, both of these cars can drive away. Like, we don't, no one needs their car towed. Like, it was like a little fender bender. Like, it wasn't that bad, but it's just like tow truck after tow truck.
What
just
the hell?
Different guys just coming up to us like, hey, you guys okay? Do you need? And we're like, no, we're fine. I'm like, are you guys calling other people? Because like, we're telling you we don't need your service. Why do you think your buddy's going to have a better chance? Like, I don't know what was going on.
It's probably through, like, an app like Waze or something. Like, people reporting the crash and then, maybe. Like, people trying to cash in.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. They were spawning in, like crazy.
That's crazy.
I've never seen that many, like, tow trucks near each other at
that
once.
Is crazy.
Other than in, like, a lot.
This one time, I was in my friend's car, Viv, and it wasn't a car accident. Her car just, like, stopped working. And we were on an off-ramp to, like, off the highway.
Oh. Terrible.
But we were like near this, like, we were closer to the regular road than the highway road. So we were in actually a pretty convenient spot to be pulled over because there was like multiple lanes, so we weren't really, it was like 1 a.m you know, it was chill anyway. So this really nice guy from CAA, came and he had this nice dog, and so we were just chilling with the dog the whole time. Anyways, fast forward several months, her car breaks down again. CAA is called. Same guy.
No
same
way.
Guy with the dog. And the dog was again just so awesome. This guy just does everything with his dog anyways.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's my wholesome story with CAA. Same guy though, which was so weird because it's a totally different spot. Like, yeah. Anyways.
Wow.
That's, you know what? That's uplifting. I doing everything with your dog. Remember there was dogs in Excalibur?
There was.
Yeah, there was always.
See, also seeing dogs in films always makes me laugh. I'm like, what are you doing there, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh,
same with
you're an
cats.
Actor?
I'm like, hee hee.
Yeah. Oh, cats especially.
Bro, yeah. I went to the ROM and just every single cat that I saw, like photo of a cat, fake taxidermy of cat, any single cat thing, I was like, ha, cat.
Cat.
I was like, oh, look, it's a kitty cat.
That's yay. Actually me.
Like to every single one of them. And I was like, am I being annoying? Don't care. There's a cat.
That's actually so real. But I wanted to say that, guys, technically the Shrek films are medieval films.
Yes, it's true.
They are.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them are.
And mm-hmm. that's awesome.
I know. And I think that that was a lot of the appeal of the Shrek movies to me as a kid.
Really?
Is I love the medieval aesthetic. I'm like, yes, there's castles.
Yeah.
Like, there's like this and that. Like, I think that was a lot of the appeal to me. Because, like, we don't think of, like, a lot of fantasy stuff is medieval. But I think we don't necessarily think of how often medieval things show up just in media yeah. and stuff.
It's because the aesthetic's just awesome, and it is like yeah. an excuse just to throw a bunch of knights in a place, and it's an excuse to have like a monarchy and like everything, and it's just
nice really, fabrics.
And yeah.
It's honestly, I feel like it'd be like a costume designer's dream or nightmare, depending on
true. I would
how much
love
work
it.
You have to do, but yeah, I would love yeah. it too.
I'd like to live in like a fictional fantasy, like medieval world, not real one.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. like one where there's like magic and stuff. And
yeah,
I'm
that'd
like
be awesome.
And I have magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
and there's
like a mage
no
or
witch hunts going on.
Nope. No, there isn't.
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome.
A movie that is medieval that I like is The Princess Bride.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Princess Bride. Yeah,
yeah
that's
it's
a great medieval.
Yeah, yeah, they storm the castle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that movie a lot, actually.
That's mm-hmm. it's a sweet, wholesome movie. It's like just like a grandpa telling a little story, bro.
I know.
I love The Princess Bride also. I've seen it way too many times.
Yeah, same.
I've only seen it once.
Oh, really?
What?
Because I started it when I was like a kid. Damn, that's crazy.
I know.
That is crazy.
Wow.
I missed out on it on childhood.
I've seen it.
It's like
so
one
much.
Of my favorite movies as a kid.
Same, I think, actually. I think I watched it too much that I was like, I gotta stop. So I still like it.
No, literally, I had to do that too. I had to also limit my Princess Bride rewatching.
Yeah, that's real.
I liked Zorro when I was a kid. I love
me too.
Zorro.
I was also super into Zorro.
Yes.
But
everyone in Zorro, like the first one, is so beautiful.
That is true. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes,
literally,
and Antonio Banderas.
But España. I have a question for you guys. So, as you guys know, one of my favorite games is The Sims Medieval.
Yeah.
Great game.
And
in
you
that
love
game,
Skyrim.
Yes, I do also love Skyrim. But in The Sims Medieval, there are different roles within the kingdom. And
yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, what kind of medieval archetype do you think you would fit in or would want to be if you were in medieval times? Like, I always say that I'd love to be like, I don't know, like a tavern bard. I think I'd be like a tavern wench that like tickles the ivories or like, you know, plays a lute or something.
I think, well,
like
in your
jester.
Original Sims Medieval game, we'd had a deliberation about this like majorly with me.
Yes.
And we ended up making me a knight.
Yes.
The main knight for the kingdom. So I think
Ash Williams was also the king in that kingdom.
That's true. I needed to serve him. So I think I'd like to be a magic user. But realistically, I think, because you guys know, we have a term that we use within this small circle of friends called lava blocking, in
yes.
which...
coined by me.
Yes.
Yes, coined by Dorsa, where, like someone will extend me an olive branch and give me an opportunity to do something the easy way, and I never
and
choose
you burn
that.
The olive branch, bro.
I'm always questing for something. You know, like, and I have like a very, very like intense will.
Yeah, you don't mind a tumultuous journey.
No, I really don't. And like, if I have something in my sights, especially if it means something to someone, I'm like pretty hellbent on getting it. So
if Ash Williams was your king,
oh,
you wanted
yeah.
you to fight for the land.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, if Ash Williams was King Arthur, I would be Percival.
That's so funny.
That's real.
That's so funny.
I would be Percival.
That's real. You wouldn't be, but what if Ash Williams was Guinevere? Would you be Lancelot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, what a Chad Lancelot
literally.
In Excalibur.
And there's so much softcore porn.
Yeah, there is.
Dude, it's
I saw the back of some balls. For real.
Yeah.
Scary. I wasn't looking, but I was like, you know what? I don't need a rewind to see that. That's fine.
I was like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Once upon a time Fire. In Hollywood.
I would probably want to be a magic user as well, but
mm-hmm.
So this is not about medieval times, but when I was watching Bridgerton, there's a part in one of the seasons, don't remember, where they're setting up for a party, and like you see the setup people like putting out the setup things. And this was a summer where I was literally, my job description was setup crew at a garden. And so I literally just did that all summer, just set up for like events and stuff. And so I literally was like, wow, in the Regency area, that would have been me. I literally would have been these fuckers setting up the circus. And so if you take that, like my literal real life, I would probably be some dumb thing like that in the medieval era. Like just some,
I mean, I probably would have been like a horse shit shoveler peasant, but yeah, what would you like to be?
Well, I would like to be a magic user, because I think that would be fun.
What type would you be? Like the type that like you say you're like a healer or like a doctor, but like you're like, oh, rub this like this tincture will heal you, but secretly you're doing spells.
I feel like I'd more want to be like, you know, the okay, you know, in Brave,
okay,
the witch in Brave.
Yeah, I think.
I'd be more like her, low key.
Okay, I
just
kind of
like her and her husband. Now they're just kind of like out in the forest doing their own weird thing, and then people just come to them. I think I'd be like that.
Okay, mm-hmm.
That's so what like I would want to do.
Societal outcast,
a holistic.
Yeah, but I would still want to have like friends.
But if you had a chance to change your fate, would you?
Yeah. Had a chance to change your fate. I can't do it. I can't do a Scottish accent.
If you had a chance to change your fate, would you?
Your fate. Haggis.
Haggis.
Haggis. Sorry, Scottish people listening. I know we have
Arthur Irish, though?
But then he lost it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it came back.
They definitely tried to do some, like, add in some British Irish thing into Excalibur. I'm really sorry. I don't know if this is part of the traditional
lore. Is Arthur Irish? I know he's king of the Britons.
He is, but in Excalibur, they had this like almost weird divide between like people that had dark hair and were Irish versus like the blonde Brits. And like they did a weird thing with it where like Arthur, like after he became king, became more blonde and British.
He did. He did. It was weird.
And
like I didn't recognize him like in between different eras sometimes. I'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, this is the same guy. What the hell? The movie is also 2 hours and they do try to like put everything in.
There's
hours.
So much information.
So much.
Yo, if you want an in-depth Arthurian movie, watch Lancelot of the Lake. Lancelot du Lac.
Well, literally. I wouldn't say it's necessarily in-depth
on Lancelot.
Yes. The only caveat is that a lot of stuff happens just like off-screen.
Yeah, they'll be like, he's dead.
Because what's the director again?
When? Bresson.
Robert Bresson.
Yeah, it's Robert by Bresson.
It is.
Lancelot du Lac. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's also a good vibe movie. Honestly.
That is, yeah.
It looks beautiful. It really does.
What I did appreciate about this movie, like it being a vibe movie, was that like I wasn't like necessarily like bored. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And with vibe movies, I really just don't want to be bored. And not bored as in like it's slow paced, not like that. I just the pacing is just bad. And I just hate when a movie has bad pacing, because I love a slowly paced movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm obviously not.
If they do it right. Yeah.
Right. But I'm just kind of like when you were like, oh, it's a vibe movie. I'm like, but will it be a good time?
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
It's an 80s vibe movie. So there's a lot happening. And honestly, shout out. I loved how the blood looked on screen, because like a lot of times with like medieval battle stuff or just like old battle stuff, like it can look a little schlocky.
Yeah.
And I just think that the way that they consistently did it in the film, like I think it was pretty visually stunning, like with the bright red contrasted with like the shiny silver armor.
I mean,
armor,
it was
I
also
it looked nice.
Technicolor. So
yeah, yes, exactly.
Helps.
That's another interesting thing about it, that it was made in Technicolor, even though it came out in 1981.
Completely off topic, but like going back to the softcore porn part of it, I thought it was crazy how like Lancelot just slept in the forest naked all the time.
Yeah, that was like his thing.
And that like animals would just walk up to him and like chill beside him. Like they were like fucking and sucking.
No, literally.
And there'd just be like a deer like chewing on some grass.
This baby deer, and then like this bird came up to him and he's just like smiling at the bird. I'm like, what is happening?
Bro, how is you Snow White?
literally.
No, it was a little odd. And then like after he even like swears that he like swears his loyalty to like King Arthur or whatever, and then he's like, and like he like gets like a room in the castle or whatever, obviously, as like all the knights do. And then he's like, I'm actually good. I can't sleep here. I actually need to go to the forest. And they're like, be careful. And he's like, I will. And then he's like fucking on the queen, Guinevere.
Yeah. Guinevere.
Naughty. Though I will say, I, for the amount of that people are like, Helen Mirren is so hot in this movie, didn't expect Morgana to, the same spell that Merlin did to get Uther to sleep with Egrain, Morgana does for herself so she can sleep with her half-brother Arthur.
Yeah.
So they can get this weird golden child.
And he's like, she's like, you're going to be my brother and my lover. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna
be.
That is actually a quote in Game of Thrones.
Literally.
Your brother or your lover. That's from season one. So.
Okay.
Yeah, your brother or your lover. Because like some people are like weird about the incest, right? They're like, yeah, I don't like it.
Well,
it's always a bad
thing. Only bad people do incest in the show.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
book. Haven't read them. Wouldn't know.
So. Well, hey, they ran out of book
Other than House of the Dragon, because Rhaenyra is like incestuous. And she's not necessarily a good person.
Yeah, I've heard
like,
that she's that the main
thing.
Like
okay, uncle,
well,
though,
the Targaryens are all incestuous.
Yeah, because they need to keep their the dragon blood.
So otherwise, so that they can still ride in dragons and stuff. So like that makes sense, but also isn't. Like people don't like that. People are like, ew, this weird ass family has to fuck each other.
Yeah.
Like people are like, the fuck?
You'd be trying to find your most distant cousin, bro. Like
and don't, I'm not actually going to talk about that. Sorry.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, okay. But I think, like, for the amount of people that are like, oh, like, because we had an instructor once that was like, oh, this movie hasn't aged that well. And, like, I can definitely see why. But, like, I didn't think that was going to be, I didn't think that Morgana was going to do that.
Rape her brother?
Yes. No, yeah. I didn't. And then they have this weird child that is in this golden armor. And for some reason, all the armor has the nipple details in this movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And he's this weird Patrick Bateman child. He's like, I am a golden god, basically. Yeah. Like
he's
like Dennis Reynolds, bro.
He's like, stop. It's true.
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
When we first see him, he's like 8 years old or something. And like this one guy, Percival, he's coming to get the grail. And she's like, you're too weak for the grail because you won't submit to me. And he's like, take him to the tree, mother.
He's like, take him to the tree. Take him to be hung,
like,
mother.
Literally, like, lynch him, mom. What?
Literally, it's like,
crazy.
Yo, you're actually evil.
You're evil and you've been raised evil, though. And then he's like, it's a weird movie. If you haven't seen it, honestly, just, I wouldn't watch it alone. I feel like you'd be like, what? Like, you need someone to be like, what? Huh? Too, like, as you're watching.
Crush a couple beers. Smoke a little pot.
Yeah, we were Squat definitely
under the influence.
Under the
of
influence.
Mm-hmm. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
No.
No. I'm the only one that likes to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I like the Pabst Blue Ribbon
lemonade.
Mm-hmm. I have not tried that. I'm not a huge fan of beer.
Pabst is not my choice.
Well, it's not beer. It's lemonade.
Yeah, so I haven't tried it.
Yeah,
I
will. It just tastes like a Twisted Tea or whatever. Really, like, it doesn't taste. It's just like a lemonade cooler.
I like it.
Interesting.
I like that.
Fine.
Damn. Maybe I'll have to try it.
I'm actually more of a Heineken person.
Wow.
Freak that crap.
I'm more of a strawberry beer person. That's not fake. It's a real thing.
It is. It's so
really
good.
I'm more of a mojito gal. I'm more of a rum and coke.
Oh well, if we're going for full preference.
Well, like,
But mojito, like, I like the,
I love
black,
a mojito.
The Black Flag cooler. Same. Like, it's a cooler, but it's like a mojito.
I love Blackberry Summersby.
Cider.
A
little cider.
Ooh, it's good.
Drink responsibly. Don't drink if you're under the age. Just putting that out there, guys.
Yep.
Have to say that.
It's true.
It's a school podcast.
It is. Drink responsibly.
Please drink responsibly. Educate yourself, guys. Drink water if you're going to be drinking. Eat
and
something.
Eat before. And you know what they say? Beer before liquor. Never been sicker.
There you go.
Yep, true.
So don't drink wine, cider, or beer before you're having a big night of binge drinking liquor. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
You
guys
will throw up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
I know you guys want to have good times.
You
want
to be like a knight,
exactly, and know your limit or something.
I don't know.
You want to be like a knight, man.
Just be like a knight.
Like drinking ale with the boys was what I was thinking. I said that you want to be like a knight, and then my brain immediately went and played the Monty Python and the Holy Grail scene where they're like, we're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. And they're like playing like the spoons on their
yes,
helmets.
That's
yes.
fire.
They're like
that's
dancing.
Awesome.
Oh, the helmets in this movie were crazy in Excalibur.
Yeah. Some of them look like pet play.
Like,
yeah,
like,
they did.
Like leather puppy play, pet
yeah,
play.
Yeah, but like made out of like metal.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I loved it. Like all the different ones.
Yeah, all the armor was really interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't think about this like beforehand, but I literally just went to the ROM like 3 days ago and we went into the Europe exhibit. So I just saw like all of the medieval armor. I've just looked at it and I've just done like, so I wasn't even considering
I always
that.
Think it'd be so heavy.
Literally, that's what
even chainmail. Even chainmail is like heavy, bro. Mm-hmm. And it's like so much of like I feel like strength training as a knight would just be so you can fucking still swing a sword, like
literally
when you're weighed down like that. And then it's like imagine then you're weak and you're trying to get up and it's like a weighted blanket almost on you. Ugh. Like that's why they're always taking their helmets off and shit when they're like dying.
Yeah. And then when he falls into the water, he has to like take all of his fucking armor off so he can swim up. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Literally.
One of my unrelated. What's your favorite medieval weapon?
I
like in hand-to-hand combat. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say I've always been kind of a fan of a mace, but I don't know if I'm the right person to use it because I do think that I would accidentally swing it behind me and like get myself in the back.
Yeah.
But if anyone's listening, play Skyrim, the Mace of Molag Bal. Goated weapon that you can get really early in the game if you want to.
I was also thinking mace as like a sick one.
My favorite is the Morning Star.
Ooh,
oh wow, that's
biblical.
No, that's sick. I understand.
Yes, I also like a great sword of any kind.
Yeah. See, the thing is, people often confuse maces and flails.
Wait, what am I thinking of?
A flail is pretty well. A flail is also.
Oh,
see, I wouldn't, the Morning I wouldn't Star want is called.
That's.
I wouldn't want that because I think I'd get it, get my back. You know, like I'd swing it back.
Yeah, you'd flagellate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mixed up a mace and a Morning Star. Sorry, guys. I prefer Morning Star, but I think that if I was like in it and I had to pick a weapon, I think I would either pick like a bow and arrow or a crossbow.
Literally, that's long actually distance. Also the exact same answer as me. Because when I used to play, do you guys remember, or this is more for you, Dorsa, I guess, even though you play Minecraft too, Morgansa.
Yeah.
But do you remember on Hypixel, specifically the castle game where like there's one team that's the undead sieging the castle and then there's the other team? That was like my favorite game. One that's of my favorites. Did you play this, Morgan?
I did not play this castle game, but I did play Minecraft.
Hell yeah.
That's like, I'd play Bed Wars, I remember, I think, on Hypixel.
Yeah. We have actual bows and arrows at my house that I can use it, and I did go to classes, and we do have a target. So technically, I'm fulfilling the prophecy.
I felt so cool. I went to a camp in Girl Guides once where they had like bow and arrow like training for one day. So I've only shot a bow and arrow once and I was the best out of everyone.
That's because you're good.
I shot a bow and arrow.
Yo, that's awesome. Wow.
It was at some like field trip in like grade 6 or whatever. And I remember I hit the bullseye and I was like, yes.
I don't know why my parents just decided to buy them one day.
That's awesome.
So we have like two. One kid size, one adult size, I think.
Cool.
I will say though, I do love daggers. Like I do think that if I was in medieval times, I'd be playing as like exactly I do in D&D, where I'd be like a little rogue, a little sneaky rogue, because I'm good at sneaking up on people, even though I'm not trying to. People often say, "Hey, you scared me. You snuck up on me," and I go, "Sorry, I thought my footsteps were loud enough."
But you also live with me, and I get scared really easily in situations like that.
Kind of like a cat, because I also a lot of times I go up the stairs on my tippy toes, which
so do I.
I thought everyone.
No, I don't.
Does like because I'm like, how else are you guys supposed to go up the stairs?
Don't worry, I also do that.
Yeah, so I guess that has sneaky abilities.
Touch of the tism. That's
I was thinking that too.
I was debating between if I wanted to say it or not.
It's okay. That's, I don't think that would come as a shock to anyone, for any of us. But I also think that it's really interesting how in Excalibur, like, I think that's a movie that, like, maybe if it was to be remade or something, they would have it in, like, parts like they would like say it, they'd be like part one, like Arthur's story, like part two, whatever, kind of like the newest Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think it would be best in like a mini series type.
Yeah, so like BBC Merlin. If anyone else listening to this was like obsessed with Merlin in elementary school and was really weird about it on Tumblr, just know that I relate.
Can I also, second confession of the episode, call me medieval the way I be confessing.
Yo.
Catholic all.
Literally, Catholic all, Margo. But I never watched Merlin, and I still, it's not that I don't vibe with it, because I think it'd be really good to watch. This is not me hating on Merlin at all.
It's all right.
I don't like watching medieval things where everyone is like really beautiful and it looks really modern in that sense.
That's fair.
I like people to look really normal when I watch medieval things, and everything I see of Merlin, it's like, guys, imagine me doing like a Zoolander face. It's like, we need to siege this castle, Arthur. I love you, by the way.
So they all have iPhone face?
They all kind of... I think they do.
I don't think any of them really have iPhone. I think they do. I mean, the main guy that plays Merlin...
Like, Merlin is like He looks young. Look at him.
Yeah, because that's the whole point. The whole point is it's about a young Merlin. It's about him just finding his power. Like, he kind of looks like Benedict Cumberbatch. He's got a kind of weird face.
I've only ever seen clips online. But he has,
like British, like, beauty face. Like, and everyone's sexy. Like,
yeah, well, he's kind of fine. What?
Yeah, no, he is.
That's not a complaint that everyone's sexy, but sometimes when I'm watching it, I'm like, sometimes.
Like, you know that it's fake.
Yeah.
Because everyone's young and attractive.
Yeah, but have you seen Gaius, though? Gaius is the goat.
Okay, finally. Okay.
This is a main character, bro.
We're getting
into it. Have you seen how freaking Uther looks, bro? Uther looks chopped. Hold on.
Chopped Uther?
This is how freaking Uther looks.
Damn. Oh my gosh. I just remembered a show. Do you guys remember there was this one
show?
A squirrel outside.
What?
On the branch.
Whoa.
What? I can't see it.
But there's there was this show that didn't air for very long, and it was about this guy, and it was set in medieval times, and there was a singing. I'll look it up.
Oh, I know exactly what show you're talking about. I can't think of the name
really
of it.
It was really funny. Actually,
yeah,
really liked
I remember exactly. It was big on Tumblr also.
It was. Medieval show, yeah.
Gallivant.
Gallivant. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah,
I watched the first couple episodes of that, I remember, when it aired, which was many moons ago.
Yeah, this was one of those things that, everyone that watched it loved it, but they just never...
Yeah, it's got an 8.1 out of 10.
Wow.
Kept doing it.
There was this old medieval, animated show that me and my brother would watch, and I'm forgetting what it was called, and I don't remember anything about it, but I remember that it was kind of, Blue a little bit.
Blue.
Blue. I just know that, it was, medieval-esque, and he was, some type of royalty, and it was, he was on, a quest, and it was, an older show. It's an older animated show. But
did you guys ever watch the freaking Tale of Desperado?
Yes,
I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
The mouse?
I, for some reason, was convinced, I thought that this movie was, live action.
Same.
When I was a
same,
kid.
So did
the
I.
People, yeah, the people looked so real. Okay.
Oh, but they don't, though.
No, but same, when you're, I also...
When you're watching it, like...
And you're a kid?
And you're...
And it's the 2000s?
Yeah. Those fruit people? Yeah.
I forgot about them.
I remembered about that.
I always liked that movie because he had AUX in his name, too.
Yo.
That's pretty cool. That's I hated how fucking mean everyone was to him.
He was so cute.
I was like, he's literally a little freaking... He's a little
He's a little mouse.
He's just a little mouse, and he's trying his best, and everyone kept being mean to him, and I really didn't like that.
When I was younger, for some reason, this doesn't make any sense. What I'm about to say actually does not make any sense. For some reason, I was like, well, I can only like either Stuart Little or The Tale of Despereaux, because they're both little.
They're both mice.
They're both mice, and so you can only like one. Stuart
you can only little, like bro. One mouse.
And so I was like, okay, fuck Stuart Little. Yeah. I obviously you know,
Tashi from Challenger's Court. Got two mice. Can only like one.
Actually true. Anyways, so I was like, well, obviously The Tale of Despereaux is way better than Stuart Little, so yeah. I'm just gonna hate this for no reason.
Yo, fuck Stuart Little, stupid ass little car.
No, I feel like I'm always talking about how much I hate this movie, but my beef with Stuart Little is his fucking parents. His parents went to that freaking orphanage and were like, yeah, we're gonna adopt a mouse.
Bro.
No way the cost of a mouse child is the same as a human child. No way you couldn't have been like, oh, we'll get a kid and throw in the mouse too. No way that they're like, actually, yeah. Imagine being like an orphan child at that orphanage and these people come in and they take the fucking mouse. I would become an exterminator probably, if that was me.
Stuart Little, he's kind of a little dick too in the original book. Have you guys read the book?
Probably.
Maybe
when I was
younger, a
kid. Yeah.
Actually, probably not, because I was like, fuck Stuart Little. Like
me and my cousin, we had a book set where I had Charlotte's Web and he had Stuart Little. Mm, and
love Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web I've probably read close to 20 times. I would cry through the whole book.
Yeah.
Yo, did you guys imagine those buttermilk baths they gave Wilbur Yes. Like in the book, and I was like, oh my gosh, that pig would smell so good and so fresh.
I was like, I'd want to drink the bath.
And then you could cuddle the
buttermilk. I was just like, yeah. Buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
Mm-hmm.
Acidic all milk.
But like Stuart Little, whenever I read that book, because I would have just been reading Charlotte's Web, I'd be like, let me skim my cousin's book, whatever. I'd be like, fucking Stuart Little, such an asshole. Like he's like, I'm going to drive around in my boat on the water for 10, 15 pages. Dude, it's like, I don't care.
And he's mean to his other less fortunate mice friend.
He is.
He almost looks down upon them for not living as luxurious of a life. And it's like, hey, not everyone gets adopted by fucking humans.
Yeah, literally. Not everyone gets a little clothes.
Some mice have to live in the street, Stuart.
Yeah. Literally.
Yo, if Stuart Little met Templeton from Charlotte's Web, he'd beat his ass up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yo, fuck you. I got my egg. Anyone remember Templeton's egg?
Yo, Templeton's egg, though.
Talking about eggs reminds me about how you always bring up how nowhere in the Humpty Dumpty rhyme does it mention.
It never
an
says
egg.
That he's a fucking egg. It never says anywhere.
All the king's horses and all the king's men.
Try to put him back together again. And it's like, first of all, why aren't we getting a doctor on this? Why are the horses and the men trying?
Why is his name Humpty Dumpty?
Why was he sitting on a wall? Why, like, it's like, did his skull crack? Because, again, it never says that he's an egg. I don't know why it's even marketed towards children. Like, I guess it's like a cautionary tale.
Yeah, but not
it's
to sit
it's
on kinda the wall.
It's horrifying. And
it's from medieval times, is it not? Like,
it probably is. And I thought of like it so often every time so I was weird. Sitting on a wall.
Yeah.
Because I'd sit on walls often purpose, when I was a kid. Though. And everyone would always tell me to not sit on the wall. And I guess Humpty Dumpty didn't.
On walls?
Well, there's like think of like a brick, like think of like a fence, but it's made out of bricks.
Oh, okay.
It's Charlie like a half Brown. Wall. It's like a half wall. And like I'd sit and like wait for the bus in the morning when I was like a kid. And everyone would be like, don't sit on the freaking wall. Like you're going to fall off the wall and crack your head. And one time I almost fell and all of a sudden I'm not allowed to freaking sit on the wall anymore. But see, maybe if Humpty Dumpty was not being depicted as an egg, because everyone knows that eggs are fragile, right? So if it's supposed to be this cautionary tale where it's like children don't sit on walls, you could like fall or whatever. Why make it an egg in which now they don't trust the authority of this tale because they're like, well, it's an egg. Obviously, an egg is going to crack if it falls.
Well, what if he was super careful, though, and it didn't crack?
But it never
he
says
lived
that.
His whole life without cracking before that.
He was just a careful guy.
So what is the point of the story?
He had a moment of carelessness and it cost him his life.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what children are taking away from Humpty Dumpty, though.
Probably not. Bro, you unlocked a memory saying this because I was actually reminded of the fact that this rhyme, the it's raining, it's pouring.
Yeah. Yes.
That scared the fuck out of me
as
a kid.
I was like, what do you mean
he
bumped his head?
He went to bed, he bumped his head,
he
didn't
get up in
the
morning.
What do you mean
he couldn't get up in the morning? I'm like, he died.
He died.
No, literally.
I'm like, this is a story about an old man dying.
Yeah.
And we're singing it along gleefully every time it rains.
Literally. That was just like the Ring Around the Rosie, too. That's also.
Yes, because it's about the plague.
Yeah, it's also morbid, yeah.
And I remember singing that in swimming lessons when I was a little kid. What was going on there? Did they know?
Wow. One time...
They knew.
That's fire. One time I went to the some old house place in Hamilton. They have like a heritage like,
sites.
Sites. Anyways, and we just like did this activity where we literally made like plague pouches. You know, like that you would have so you would smell better. Mm-hmm. We just like made those and filled them with like lavender and stuff. Why was this a thing for kids?
I would love that as a
kid. It was awesome. I did love it. It was epic. But I'm just kind of like, that's so...
Children yearn for medieval times, man.
They do.
Medieval times was like the most interesting thing that's ever happened ever in the world ever to me when I was a kid.
It lasted so long.
So long.
It lasted so
many hundreds of years.
So I remember when we were in grade 4, we watched some little like educational thing on medieval times. And they were talking about how sometimes when people would get like sick and whatever, they'd have to do like amputations, but how they didn't have any sedatives. So they just like give them like a swig of mead.
And
I remember there was a specific clip. I remember it so vividly where it was the guy and like they gave him a swig of mead and he was like, and he was like scared to get his like leg chopped off or whatever. And then the next shot was like a bunch of birds like flying away and a guy going, ah, in the background, supposedly as he was getting, because he was getting amputated.
Yeah. Wait, I feel like I've seen this.
And it haunted me. Wait. It haunted me. And I also remember they would say that how you'd get lumps the size of apples.
The bubos.
Yeah.
Yeah, bubos.
Because where your lymph nodes were. So like underneath your armpits, like a lump the size of an apple. And like,
and they're like black.
And they'd say it in us in a way where like, as children, like I felt like the lesson we're supposed to take away from it was like, well, think we don't have to live then. We have it easier now.
Modern medicine.
But not even from that angle. Like, I think it was like, well, children used to have to die, so you guys behave. Like, I felt like that was kind of the angle in which it was being approached, which I'm not sure if that's the most constructive thing for fourth graders, but maybe it worked. I mean, it did haunt me.
There you go. Then you really just didn't want to get the plague.
Yeah. Bro, I want to go to one of those museums where, like, you walk through, like, the simulated streets of, like, medieval times.
Me too.
And, like, there are people, like, screaming and crying in agony, and it smells, like, disgusting. Smells like, and there's, like, half-run-down animatronics being like, hello, welcome to my town!
Don't you hate animatronics?
I don't like small ones.
Oh, sorry.
Big ones I am obsessed with, to the point that I'm, like, interested in their circuitry.
Like, and Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Right, not small ones, though.
I love watching videos of people going through, like, abandoned animatronics. Electronic warehouses.
So scary.
See, I like
and like
ones
picking
better.
Apart at their exoskeletons and seeing all their wires.
Oh, like that
stuff.
One guy with Elvis, the Elvis animatronic.
Yes, yes.
And they like peeled the skin off.
There was an Elvis lion animatronic I just remembered.
What? Elvis lion
There's
animatronic?
An Elvis lion animatronic.
Like,
I just remember.
Mama.
Yes, literally. I need to find this after because Elvis lion. Elvis lion.
Elvis would famously sick anyone that had an I Hate Elvis pin, Lime go,
get
go,
mama.
Go, mama, go, get her mama.
One
and
of my, yo, actually, no, I'm not going to plug the Elvis meme page I like on Instagram. I was going to.
Elvis memes are really funny.
They're really
Whoa,
funny.
Whoa, mama,
to
you're
me.
14. I want to marry you.
Whoa, mama.
Whoa, mama. You need to dye your hair for me, mama. Priscilla.
Yo, we need to watch Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep, yes, in which Bruce Campbell plays Elvis Presley.
Wow.
But
he didn't die. It was
but
all
what if he
up.
Didn't die and he even said he was a fat old man?
Ooh. Yeah, with like cancer or something?
I haven't seen the film. I couldn't. We couldn't.
I've only seen a clip where he's like, I got a wart on my pecker. I don't know.
Maybe
or something to that effect.
Okay. Well,
guys, I have something to propose. I think this should be a part one medieval episode because we really only talked about Excalibur.
Oh, we're definitely going to talk about medieval.
Well, I think
again.
That we should talk about it next term when we're in Arthurian traditions.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I think we should do.
After we've gotten a bit of a bit of context for some of the stuff we're going to be discussing, then we can talk about how much it deviates from the original tradition or not.
True.
And whether or not they're faithful adaptations.
Wait, I love that.
Somebody, I love adaptations. It's one of my favorite things.
Me
to
too. It's why I'm going to be Famesies. In an adaptation class as well.
Wow.
Yeah. That fits my schedule.
Oh, that's really awesome.
But I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk about not only Excalibur and medieval films, but also just medieval.
Yeah.
Just times.
Just
like the era of medieval times.
Clearly we're very passionate.
Yeah.
We clearly are. But as always, you can reach us at our email, moviemaidenspod@gmail.com for any, you know, questions you want us to answer or any ideas or suggestions for topics that we can cover in the future, or just maybe you want to just tell us that we're your favorite podcast or something.
Yeah, we would actually low-key love
that. Yeah, we still only got one email in the emails, so email.
Or if you just want to say hi.
If you just type, hi.
We'll say hi back to you.
Yeah, I'll email you back.
We will.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. But hope you enjoyed listening to us, and you can catch us next week.
Next week.
Where we'll talk about something.
Yeah,
you'll
something
have to
freaking
else. Tune in to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.